don't know. Thousands of years ago, it crashes, and this thing gets thrown out or crawls out, and it ends up freezing in the ice.
I just cannot believe any of this voodoo bullshit.
Childs, happens all the time, man. They're falling out of the skies like flies. Government knows all about it, right, Mac?
You believe any of this voodoo bullshit, Blair?
Childs, chariots of the gods, man. They practically own South America. I mean, they taught the Incas everything they know.
So come on now, MacReady. Norwegians get hold of this, and they dig it up out of the ice.
Yes, Gary, they dig it up, they cart it back. It gets thawed out, wakes up, probably not in the best of moods. I don't know
what you disrespectful man been tossing his dirty drawers in the kitchen trash can. Huh? But now I want my kitchen clean, all right? Germ free.
Now how's this motherfucker wake up after thousands of years in the ice?
And how can it look like a dog?
I don't know how. Because it's different, I see. Because it's from outer space. What do you want from me? Ask him.
We ordered teal, but we received black.
But your original order shows black.
That's impossible because it doesn't go with anything we have.
All right. Let me try the Sherman Oaks store upstairs. See what they have in stock.
Thank you.
Where exactly are you heading?
I said,
Airport.
No, I mean, which airline?
Market at 14.
United.
Market at 14. Market at 14.
You got business out of town?
They're on corner type H. Request.
No, we're not leaving. Meeting someone coming in from Boston.
All bears in North Beach are now in Unit C. Regroup. Division Aaron H. Division Aaron H. Division Aaron H.
What is it?
Your oasis is your safe place, your toxic-free zone, where your load has been significantly reduced.
Over in the apple valleys, they had tremendous apples that year. So it's something that is to us is recreation. Now, the other part of the prophecy said that the little sister would speak and the grandfather would answer and the land would be swept clean to the ocean. And the grandfather is a much bigger mountain. And last year, I was up there and I did a ceremony with Sandra Ray's people up there. And when I did the ceremony, we had the pleasure of listening to Forest Ranger talk about Mount Rainier. And I was standing there and he said, and there's an Indian prophecy that we are coming to.
Jingle ID this show. I ID the show whenever there isn't a jingle, don't I?
The winner is...
Don't I do it between every goddamn record that we play?
To dawn with you today.
in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation.
And he's, I've never heard anybody ever say that he's that fundamentalist that he believes that the end is nigh. I really... You and I take a different view on that one. But you married to Marjo?
No.
Just you start a little bit of the technique.
I really believe that he thinks he's doing the Lord's work. He's always been a very...
Well, maybe he's right. Take that one through. But you know, it's not through.
Thank you.
spoken of as men of the cloth. I think our tailoring of our habits should be considered to be as important as the tailoring of our ideals.
Man is known by the raiment he doth put on.
Precisely.
Indeed, it is what they called illustratio ad vestitudine, or, if you will, vestitudine sine vestitu, in the case of one who goes without cloth.
Precisely.
So we must be with the cloth.
And I would
and
say...
of the cloth,
and
I
of
feel.
The cloth,
yes,
of the cloth,
the cloth,
men of the cloth,
and with the cloth.
And through
yes.
the cloth, I think we shall succeed.
Look, there are stains, wine stains all over your gown. Is an abomination. Why in the world don't you Ellis wash and wear gowns that we've been speaking of all these
father,
times?
Father, I am not so vain as
you are not taking my raiment.
So as we were helping these Guatemalans get their act back together again, listening to what they want, by the way, you don't go in and say, look, I'm rich and powerful, I'll do it for you. You go in and say, look, I'm a fellow human being, you're a fellow human being. What do you need? What do you want? What have we got? Let's throw our cards on the table. Let's all sit around and realize we're fellow beings together, and let's see what we can do. And you decide what you need instead of us laying a trip on you. Because development work is really creepy. Because most of it's very patronizing and very disempowering. I know what's good for you. You need this. We'll come in and do it. So we don't do that. I mean, the people in Guatemala that do all the projects are Guatemalans. They're not Americans.
Years. You create your own reality. Why? How? Why? You create your own reality because, number one, it comes through your sense organs. I'm colorblind. I see a different reality than you do. Techniques for you. Use a telescope. Electron telescope. Hey, you're different reality every time you fine-tune your perceptual apparatus. Not to mention the fact that each of us creates our own reality by imposing our models or our paradigms. Oh, here's a drop of something red over there. Yeah, I think it's paint. No, I think it's blood. What do you think? Yeah, I got a microscope. Yeah, that's blood, all right. That's the one, yeah. Hey, just electron microscope. Yeah, I see you. Hey. Here comes Judy Swagger. Oh, shit. What's up, man? What's that red over there? Well, take a look at it, Jimmy. Take a look through the microscope. Jimmy, it's a monster. That's a work of the devil. It's red. It's pink. It's the vagina. The vagina of the whore of Babylon. She's winking at me. You make your own reality, like it or not. Jean-Paul Sartre was great here, the French expansionist. He said, boys and girls, I know you want some comfort, but there's no comfort. You're all alone out there. You're in the nose cone of the spaceship of your own time, things like that. You're hurtling into a black future, and you don't have a clue as to where you're going. And no navigation, and you don't even know how to operate the neurological equipment. Well, I'm sorry, but that's where you're at. Oh, but that's too hard to take, isn't it? Hey, you're having enough time paying the rent and avoiding the smog air and all that shit, and the 1 billion hours are going to kill you for reading a book or something.
And now I come along, start coming along and tell you guys, every day you got to get up, you got to figure it all out, but you're the only to rely on me. Oh, you can't. I know you can't. Well, in that case, come along with me to the theological boutique. Come on.
Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope for millions of Negro slaves.
Entering a new time.
period of a different paradigm or model. A period of learning to run warm and cool, not hot and cold, toward viruses, cells, and one another.
Thank you.
Hello?
Is Dr. Bunnell there?
Yes, I'll get him.
Never mind. Just tell him the Sacramento circuits are still busy and ask him if he wants me to keep trying.
All right, hold on. Miles, the circuits are still busy.
Well, tell her to keep trying. Also try San Francisco and Washington. We're getting out of here right now.
Well, where are we going?
Sally.
We're still unable to get through to Los Angeles. Do you wish me to keep trying? Dr. Bunnell? Dr. Bunnell?
Idolater, if you are nothing.
Thoughts of what can be.
I have no idea.
Of course, you know that there I have splashed a few.
But I can't say my father. I really do.
The worst vintages in the
entire time.
Believe
me, my Chateau Neuf de Pape is in fact. I told him about that.
Robert knows the Chateau Neuf de Pape is a very sarcastic wine with a terribly bitter aftertaste and a not very confident bouquet.
A small nose, a wine of very small nose and of a presumption.
I.
The fact on the palate.
Great.
It has no finesse.
Well, I agree entirely, but it's by the way in which you keep on a bottle and you better.
And a pusher, partly truth, partly fiction. Walking contradiction.
You're saying that about me?
Well, who else would I be talking about?
I'm no pusher. I never have pushed.
No, just the part about the contradictions. You are that.
Elizabeth and I were hardy and focused lovers. Knowing we had 2 hours, we used every minute of it, and we became experts at each other. We never went out for a Coke. We never took a break for a glass of water. We rarely spoke. There was admiration and curiosity in my touch, and affection and gratitude in hers, or so I assumed. And I was pleased, even proud at the time, that there was so little need to speak. Meanwhile, Gil Benson had begun clinging to me worse than ever, and those prolonged visits were full of agony and desperation. I'd never had such a thing happen before, and until it did, I thought of myself as a compassionate person. I watched myself arrive at his terrible house and wheel the tank toward the door, and I searched myself for compassion, the smallest shred of fellow feeling, kindness, affection, pity. But all I found was repulsion, impatience. Give me the truck keys and a job to do. I had no compassion for Gil Benson. The Sunday before Labor Day, I didn't call Linda Enright. In each minute of the day, Linda Enright was in my mind. I saw her there in her green sweater by her father's roll top. We always talked about what we were wearing, and she always said the green sweater, saying it innocently, as if wearing the sweater that I'd helped pull over her head that night was of little note, a coincidence, and not the most important thing that she'd say in the whole $8 call. And I'd say, just Levi's and a t-shirt, hoping she'd imagine the belt, the buckle, the trouble it could all be in the dark. I saw her sitting in the afternoon shadow, maybe writing some notes in her calendar or reading, and right over there, the telephone. I could get up and hit the phone booth in less than 10 minutes and make that phone ring, have her reach for it, but I didn't.
No.
started this fruit diet. I've been so out of it since my brother's funeral. Have you ever done one?
No.
They're supposed to sort of naturally cleanse the body, you know, of all the toxins.
You should do it. It's been so run down lately.
Really?
Yeah, I've just been really busy. We have this client dinner coming up.
Right. Maybe you should try it.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be a lot of fun. We could do it together. Come on, why don't you just try it?
Do you know what you want?
Yes, I'm going to have the fruit salad and the herbal iced tea.
Okay, in view. I'll have the same.
Had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the Negro still is not free.
My God, Bob, what's happening to him?
I think if it had more time to finish, it would have looked and sounded and acted just like Benny's.
I don't know what you're saying.
There was one of those things out there trying to imitate him, Gary. Come on.
But, Creedy, I know Bennings. I've known him for 10 years. He's my friend.
We've got to burn the rest of them.
And to the divinity, Ma, you can buy a nice God here. Solve all your problems, do all your thinking for you, okay? You're like a little, oh, look at that. Hey, there's a snake one. That's a nice warm Madonna, a virgin god. Yeah. She's lying her arms. Yeah, pretty good. Okay. Want to wrap it up? Or no? Maybe you'd like, hey, there's a real good macho god there, right? A king of kings. Okay, you like that one? Yeah. Yeah, you can get that. Glows in the dark, too. Well, you get the point. No matter what kind of never inventions you make about God. You can get down on your knees, you can crawl on your feet, you can kiss all the boots and crucifixes you want. But I still want to come back to the fact that it's you out there deciding you're going to do that. So, fortunately, though, we have a lot of help. Once you define yourself as someone who's out there all alone on your timeship, you know, you look around and you find other people out there too. Hey, you exchange navigational notes and exchange equipment. Technicalities and so forth. The third, of course, the heavy duty. Prophetic motto of the cybernetic age. They all call it Max Planck. He said, "Hey, you know, all this heavy duty world of machines, meat. That's all temporary. The units of reality, basic bits of all matter and energy." Are called quarks, and they're bits of not energy, but matter of information. A quark, the smallest possible, conceivable. All a quark does, the only hardware function of a quark doesn't have any molecular properties, quark doesn't have any atomic bonding. A quark is a miniaturized, compacted unit of information with only one hardware function, on off. On off, zero one. Yeah, we knew that. Hey, the Taoists told us that. Remember, the Taoists had this all down 3,000 years ago. Flow, change, Everything moves. Everything's yin yang, 0, 1, plus minus. Yeah. And discuss demonstrating the facts of the current reality. The unit of a human being. A human being is seen not as a sheep or a serf or a cog in a machine. You want to know that a human being is the best word for a human being? You're a cork. I'm a cork. I like that. Hey, how does it feel to be a cork? Now, what corks are? Corks are compressed information. We've got nervous system brains with 100 billion neurons, and each neuron can process more information than a Big Mac computer. We're talking about pure information. This knowledge processing so powerful that it's just almost impossible to conceive of it. There was one person, a wonderful, wonderful prophet, scientist, who recently has come up with he personalized, he humanizes the grim, horrible reality. See, all the stuff I'm talking about, relativity is no absolute space and time, and I make up my own reality, and Jesus is all made up of clusters. The technical psychopharmaceutical term for that, boys and girls, is a bad trip. If you know what I mean. When everything is relative, and when you realize you're spinning out, everything is coming from your own brain, and you try to pull down, hang on to some reality hole, you pull the universe down on you, you try to get out of here, but every step you take, you fall into the ninth dimension. That's the puzzle and the agony of dealing with the rough, chop, concepts of quantum physics, quantum psychology, cybernetics.
Of the German French in a war that was bound to end all war. Oh, I must have killed a million men, and now they want me back again. But I can't march it anymore. It's always the old who lead us to the war, always the young to fall. Now let's go, we won with a saber and a gun. Tell me, is it worth it all?
The whole national mythology was that Vietnam was a consensus war with bipartisan foreign policy. All significant sectors of the American public accepted the war, and the people who opposed it were marginalized freaks, kooks, you know, unimportant people. It was a real statement for a person to say, yes, I'm willing to march out against the war. And when thousands of people did that, it broke that consensus. That was a function, that's what the anti-Vietnam War movement did. It broke that consensus.
React.
Well, what do you want? React to what?
React to the greatness of the march of the day, the victory or what? You happy with it?
Hari Om Namo Shiva. Hari Om Namo Shiva. Hari Om Namo Shiva. Hari Om Namo Shiva.
Oh, Ronald Reagan.
Reagan walked onto the political stage as a candidate for governor in 1966. During his campaign, he felt that attacking what he called the domestic virtue pleased the crowd.
It began long ago when the so-called free speech advocates who in truth have no appreciation for freedom were allowed to assault and humiliate the symbol of law and order of policemen on the campus, and that was the moment when the ringleaders should have been taken to the scruff of the neck and thrown out of the university once and for all.
He won by pandering to a citizenry that was outraged by what these terrible, insolent, ungrateful children were doing on the campuses.
That was so good. Oh, you felt so good inside my mouth. You tasted so good. I felt so good on my tongue. Felt so good going through my lips. I'm gonna have to do it again sometime.
Disappeared, vanished, evaporated, abandoned me.
And so you used to see quitting as being the engine sort of behind everything around us. Do you feel like that is the best explanatory framework with which to understand your life?
Yes and no. Yes and no. The sad thing is that I don't really have a scheme. I attempted to embrace...
One more injection and the experiment will be complete. A race of monsters at your command. All these petty pseudo-politicians that think they can rule the world through fanaticism. You'll show them a thing or two. You'll have your own army. But it won't be of human beings. It'll be animals. Large animals. Your serum can make a mouse as big as a dog. A rat as large as a pony. With these creatures, you can rule the earth. You walk along the row of cages in your laboratory. The animals are growing, the ones you've injected with the latest batch of serum. This serum will bring the world to your feet. It's been a long time since you were run out of the medical profession, but the sting of disgrace is still in your mind. It's the one thing that drives you constantly, to make them pay for what they did to you. They'll bow when you come past. They'll pay for the mental torment they've made you suffer. You transfer the injected mice to the large cages along the wall of the room. They're starting to grow already. Complete growth will be attained in another 24 hours. They'll have to have strong cages then. The large pens you built will take care of that. Haven't tested their brain power yet. Have to do that before you can thrust them out of their cages. They could easily kill a man. Practically lifeless now as you move them about. The serum has them in a temporary stupor. But they'll be squealing hungrily in another 4 hours. You glance at your watch. 3 a.m. Haven't got time to go to bed. Go out in the kitchen and make some coffee. You start the water boiling. Your body aches with the weeks of work and no sleep. Plenty of time for rest after you're through. But you gotta stay awake now. Pour the water on the coffee. Take a few minutes to drain through. What was that? Sounded like a noise in the living room. You go through the door and look around. Then, over in the corner, perched on top of the table, like a huge dog, it's one of your mice. But this can't be. The serum couldn't work this fast. The animal sees you and squeals piercingly. Then from behind the sofa you see another. Then over in the chair. Then there are all 5 of them. How did they get loose? This can't be. They all start toward you. You run into the kitchen and shut the door. The gun. You've got to find your gun. You hear a splintering of wood. Then they're through the door and into the kitchen. No! They're coming at you. One bites your leg. No!
Look at the size of those things. The people that sent us out here sure weren't lying. This guy was mad.
Close to the sun now, well inside the orbit of Mars, and it will circle around behind the sun and will reemerge about a month and a half from now, if I'm not mistaken. Sometime in either late January or early February, it will start coming out again.
Somebody's voice. Getting hard to tell the difference now. Well into the plot arc of the Covenant kind of arc. Maybe a Noah. Something like that. Always been hard to tell the movie from the non-movie, but that's the American secret. Don't tell anybody. All right, you can tell them. They won't believe you. If they believed you, they wouldn't understand it. And if they did understand it, they wouldn't be able to do anything about it. For themselves, that is. So you are now free to do whatever you want in this country. It's New Metaphysics, Gary Geiserman. Well, which is which? WZBC in Newton. Now, which is which there? Well, that one's easy. One is a high earner. The other, not quite. Going until 2, and then, depending on the porous quality of the membrane, are we safe? Maybe we'll have some sexually transmitted disease later on. Crossing into the great water, as it were, of the late night. I'm not working tomorrow. Or at least, I will not be earning money tomorrow. Let's put it that way. I'm not earning 10% sunning on a beach. But then that's another private and somewhat squalid drama I won't trouble you with. I did have an interesting dream a few days ago. Maybe I'll get into that later. I was on a craft. It was a peak experience, and I did not know I was dreaming. And it was very, very good. By the way, this Saturday on Victor's show, Expanding Awareness and Lucid Sounds, at 10 o'clock, be an interview with a 72-year-old mystic shaman spiritual fellow. An expert on indigenous cultures in Russia, Australia, Mexico, and here in America. And he's a member of the Native American Church of Peyote. Sounds interesting. 10 o'clock this Saturday, right here in this location. Interviewed by Victor, 72-year-old shaman mystic, a member of the very infamous Church of Peyote, Native American. It is legal. Not sure about the rest of it. It's caused, attracted a lot of heat out in the Four Corners area down there. Anyway, that'll be this Saturday, and of course Victor's show starts at 8 and runs until 1. With some very nice ambient electronics and spiritual music with Alan Watts at 9:30. Every week. Well, let's get on with the required programming, if we will. State regulations, one of the last acts of Bolger before he was kicked up sideways or whatever to UMass, was to require new metaphysics, essential listening for all homeless people, most of whom do not have radios. But nevertheless, ex-Senate President Bolger moves with a steady hand, however unpublicized it may be. Whitey does the same, I believe. I am Whitey Bolger. And I sleep well.
We find Guatemalans that have beautiful hearts and strong hands, and then we just back the hell out of them. Okay. So it turned out that, you know, I looked in the eyes of these Guatemalan women, and you know, first you're freaked because you know what you've got. You've got your MasterCard in your wallet. You've got your ticket back home. You've got a great scene back in the States. And you're looking at somebody who has nothing. And you realize that you can't give them everything because you have your part to play, and it isn't to just give everything away, it's to play a part within the dance. And to look somebody in the eye when they don't have and you have is tricky business. If you know when you walk along the street. Okay, we're going to talk about that. And I'd look in the eyes of these women. I mean, and my heart's breaking, and there are tears in my face. All of us on the board are there crying. I mean, it's just so intense, because these people are so beautiful. If you've gone to any of the Mayan ruins and know the ancient culture and the wisdom of these cultures, and they are grounded and they're rooted and they've watched death and they're there with nothing and they look, you look in their eyes and they are present. They are not so freaked by their predicament that they're treating you like shit to be manipulated in order to get what they need. It's like yesterday. I'll digress, but that's okay. I'll try to get back where we started. Yesterday I was in New York and I had lunch with an extremely wealthy man. I mean, a man who probably has a personal wealth of, say, $500 million. And it was interesting. I said to him, you know, it's very hard for me to meet you as a fellow being. Because I come out of a tradition that is obsessed around rich people. And if I were in a room with five people and one of them's rich, I'm able to see God in four people, and on the fifth person I see a rich person. Okay. And it's subtle, but it's creepy. Because I'm all, I mean, I need money for Seva, I need money for the, it's not for me, it's good, I'm righteous, you know, but I still need money, you know. Somehow I got to play a little con game, I've got to be this and that for you. And I said, it's really hard for us just to hang out as fellow beings. But you must be starving to death in there because you're so rich, everybody must want a piece of the pie. He's on all these boards and he's so good and he's so giving. I said, it's a tough role you're in. It's hard to be a rich man in this society. And we both appreciated it, and we hung out. I found that by just being straight about it, we could get through it. I said, I'm hung up in being a hustler, you're hung up in being a rich person. We'll hang out together, and we'll see what comes out of it. Yeah. But these Guatemalan women were just right there. They expressed their pain and their need and their desire, but they didn't treat me like an object or the rest of us. They were still with us as fellow human beings. We were together around the predicament. And I flew from, this is the part of the story I was going to tell you, I flew from there to Hollywood because I had a gig in Hollywood. And I was staying up in Brentwood, which is a very fancy suburb of Hollywood, where the rich live. And I drove down this street in Brentwood, this quiet avenue. In fact, it was so quiet, there were no human beings in sight. There were little plots of grass on the side of the street, well kept. Big walls, electronic gates. So all you saw was a street full of walls and electronic gates. Behind it, you'd see the roofs of these huge houses. You knew there were people in there, but you never saw them. And on the lawn of each one was a little sign that the security company had put. Very vivid sign, red on black. Sorry, black on red. And it said, armed response. Just think about that. I mean, here you've made it finally. You got it all. I mean, you really got it. You got a swimming pool. You got the money for your kids' education. You got it. You got big dogs. You got everything in there. Walk-in refrigerators, the whole shtick. And you got a big sign and a big gate, and so you know who's coming and going, and you got a little sign that says armed response. You realize what had happened. There I was in Guatemala, where the poor women were scared still that the army in the service of the rich was going to come in and murder them. And then I flew to the place where the rich were behind their walls, frightened that the poor were going to come over the walls and murder them. Now, I grew up at a time, I don't know about you, but I remember a time living in a suburb right here when we didn't lock our doors. We could leave the keys in the car. I mean, now you don't even leave the keys in the car. It doesn't matter in Boston. Boston has an incredible reputation. That all happened in the course of our lives. I mean, my life, not your lives. Most of you weren't born then. But so economic disparity is a destabilizing force in the world. It's called the North-South issue.
If we're out in nature and we see a sunset, there's this incredible sense of awe at nature. Nature is magical because we don't really understand that either, and it's beautiful and it evokes an emotional response.
Psychological control such as neural and neuromuscular activity, tissue growth and repair, glandular secretion, and cell membrane function. Because of the role of the electric field in current flow, there are so many psychological processes, it is not surprisingly that questions have arisen concerning possible effects on biological systems exposed to artificially produced electric fields such as those in the transmission and use of electrical energy.
Wall.
shapely blonde, runs into the emergency room. I want to ask her, what's wrong? What's the problem? She says, well, it's kind of embarrassing, but I was using my vibrator and got stuck. I can't get it out. It's stuck inside. So they rush her into emergency. They admit her. They rush her off to the operating room, and they get some specialist to perform the surgery, and it's a 10-hour ordeal. And finally, she wakes up the next day, and the specialist walks into a room and says, well, I got some good news and I got some bad news. The bad news is we did everything we possibly could. We tried everything, but we just couldn't get the darn thing out. We just couldn't. But the good news is we were able to change the batteries.
Confirmed everything I had ever suspected, that we were really not alone, and apparently the human race had never been alone. And the reality of this thing, the fact that we were dealing with several high technology extraterrestrial civilizations, and the technology that they had demonstrated repeatedly to the Soviets and to the NATO forces was literally beyond belief.
By appearing here, Dean, who now lives in Tucson, is violating his national security oath. NATO has denied the report he saw ever existed, but Dean even claims it contained autopsy reports.
The 12 small bodies on this big disc that crashed near the Baltic in 63 were almost absolutely identical.
Stories like Dean's can't be verified, but if any of this is true, why aren't the witnesses silenced? Dean believes at least some powerful people in government, people with some of the answers, don't mind him speaking out. He believes if Congress held open hearings, dozens more would step forward.
seemed real. The you that nothing or no one can take away. Your inner light, the only thing that you really own. Because house and books and cars and money and other material things can be taken away and destroyed. But not the inner you. No one can touch it. No straight cat can even feel it, or see it, or sense that it is there. You are you. You own you. Live, love, be yourself. You are total, absolute, unstraight, unplastic.
He said, and now, he said, steam vents are appearing on Mount Rainier. So he says, we are beginning to believe that prophecy. Well, the prophecy says that when that mountain erupts, Mount Rainier, the grandfather's answers, and erupts, that it will sweep the land clean to the ocean. And volcanoes have a very powerful thing about them, is they don't care whose real estate it is.
Falling in love can be magical. Doing drugs can be magical. Rainbows are magical. All kinds of things are magical. Not all things that are magical are good for you.
On the sex violence connectedness, by putting in a 5-minute cooling off period between the scenes that would give males erections and the scenes in which women were mutilated.
Look to you and live and love.
Well, what a wonderfully warm afternoon, isn't it? It's marvelous, yes?
I could see that happening, you know, in a year or two. I mean, it wouldn't take much, you know, like, But I think many of us, especially those of us that study the occult or astrology, kind of have this fascination with fantasy or this addiction to this idea of, well, what is this magical thing? And the trick with magic is how do you take the magic and go into reality?
They're asking for congressional immunity for violating their national security oath.
Porcelain-lined enclosure, something like a refrigerator. For others, their safe room is just a stripped-down room within their house that's conducive to good ventilation or air control.
Attention all units. Apprehend and detain Dr. Miles Bunnell and Becky Driscoll, now believed heading north in a black and white Ford sedan. License number 2X37796. All units designated as roadblocks, move to your stations. It is urgent. These two persons must be detained and not permitted to leave Santa Mira. Repeat. For a 1955 black and white Ford sedan, license number 2X377.
to the old folks, go to show you never can tell.
Be my silent writing across all your skies, the silent writing of Hoppin' Baba.
Silence.
I don't know what you call that. Drinks, music.
I'm gonna take a piss.
Mind-blowing for all.
Fashion, you can feel yourself being lifted upward like a fountain that is coming alive and beginning to bubble and gurgle. And you move out to the top of the substance once again, and your guide that is there still has his hand on your forehead. And now your hand is taken and you are raised upward.
Well-being. Is tired into your emotional liveness as clearly your intellectual liveness. Now that's one a lot of people want to throw away. Either throw it away to their ego of I am brilliant, I am a genius, I am, oh, don't worry about my intellectual liveness. In fact, that's the only part of me that lives 3/4 of the time. And others want to throw it away by false humility. Oh, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, etc. I don't want to read a book, I did that in school. I've done that once. I don't want to do it again. And good God to think, and I had to do that to get grades. But when I got out of school, I could stop that. Well, if someone told you that, they lied, all right? But clearly so, it is that intellectual aliveness is also very much a part, not the intellectual better than, the intellectual aliveness.
Jack doesn't get through.
He's got to get through. Here, now take two of these. They'll help you to stay awake. Can't close her eyes all night.
We may wake up changed
to something evil and inhuman.
In my practice, I've seen how people have allowed their humanity to drain away. Only it happened slowly instead of all at once. They didn't seem to mind.
We're just some people, Miles.
All of us, a little bit. We harden our hearts, grow callous. Only when we have to fight to stay human do we realize how precious it is to us. How dear. As you are to me.
When the straight points its eternal plastic finger at you, smile, and love, and live. We've received an awful lot of mail. And a lot of groovy-looking envelopes and posters you're sending in. I'm hanging them up and blowing my mind with them.
Golden age, whether it be the 20s or, the high life of the 50s now. I mean, it's a very simple reflex, but it's still there.
Well, and it's interesting how closely those reflexes actually tie themselves to calendar systems. When people think of the new millennium, they think of two things. Ah, the return of the golden age.
It's true.
But they also think of world-ending catastrophe, doomsday. And there are reasons for this. The calendars, in fact, arose out of that terror and that yearning. They were an attempt to come to grips with cosmic cycles. There was a sense of cyclicity to the events, and calendar systems arose as a means of calculating or anticipating the return.
Where are these things? And then, of course, the smog tragedy started to happen. The first ones that they had, 1948, there was one in Denora, Pennsylvania. 14,000 people, 6,000 people got sick from the atmosphere. The worst one being in Meuse River Valley, Belgium, which back in 1930, thousands of people got sick. 60 people died from poison air. And this is the beginning of smog. And of course, it started raining. And when it rains it down to the water supplies. And then pretty soon, you know, over in Japan, they started putting oxygen masks on the street corners and on and on and on and on. So you begin to see.
It's difficult to do this program without the assistance of Raymond the Condemned. And when Raymond wanders, Brother Love works alone.
Next up, the load. What is it? Why is it? And what can be done to improve it? What is your total load? In the chemical-laden world in which we live, impurities are all around. Everyone must deal with a certain amount of impurities and toxins at any given time.
Alone. And I must dedicate my whole mind and being to these groovy sounds. Brother Love cares.
Now that could be both the return of the disaster or the return of the golden age, and they're inseparably entwined.
Never be able to stop them.
Yes, we will.
Can't.
How could they control the whole city?
Find a way somehow.
Oh, Matthew, I can't go on. I want to go to sleep. I can't stay awake anymore.
You have to. You have to stay awake.
Heavy.
Well, all right.
Another framework.
You did?
Yes.
What was that?
Picking.
Picking?
Picking.
Meaning what?
Picking anything. See, I'm a big picker. I'm a picker. And I also like picking. For example, I once had a job as a strawberry picker, which I enjoyed very much. But then that kind of picking, but also the kind of picking and choosing.
Well, as you say that, it occurs to me that this whole scheme is just the mirror opposite of quitting, really. I mean, it's just somebody picking stuff instead of somebody quitting stuff, right?
Told you to think!
Now can I play the big bass viol too?
Young, strong, and invincible.
Significant discoveries, or three now, of life in our solar system. And you can tell society really digs it, you know. Like, there's a big appetite for that. I don't think it's just a news product, because they've never been that hungry for space news in the past.
Radio's gone.
So are the choppers.
Yeah, we're completely cut off.
All we can do now is hole up till spring, wait for the rescue team.
No, we don't wait. Somebody in this camp ain't what he appears to be. Right now, that may be one or two of us. By spring, it could be all of us.
So how do we know who's human? If I was an imitation, a perfect imitation, how would you know if it was really me?
And that's your load. It's the maximum amount of toxins your body can tolerate, which for most people is rather large. But a chemically sensitive person is not able to carry a normal load. What we have to do is unload. This means we go back to zero and...
Come on, Lord. How can I effectively preach the Ten Commandments if I hadn't seen you cut them with your finger and write it by fire? Lord?
A little bit more information than I needed, Vince, but go right ahead.
Is that what you call an uncomfortable silence?
Lord of God,
I like blood.
As soon as he consistently comes and sits in front of you...
I don't know what you call that.
In this case, Miss Clark, in her argument on several occasions, said,
"When you call him, try to increase your distance."
The yogi, by a method of discipline that he has imposed upon himself, is able to extricate himself from his senses.
will be other tapes available in the series later on.
Information. What's wrong? What's wrong?
Oh! Oh! You're hurting me with that big finger!
Sorrowful.
Honey, is that you?
He says, you see him, brother?
A mortal sin is a serious sin.
That is, he's able to take his awareness and bring it back from his ear hearing, his eye seeing, his nose smelling.
Happened on a vehicle that went down in Canada, too. Immediately, the government began to clamp down, and a special group of America's top scientists were organized under the name of Project Sign in December of 1947 to study the phenomenon.
Tongue tasting and his skin feeling.
What's wrong?
In a room specially equipped.
Time is that which ends.
The whole nasty business was contained within the shroud of secrecy. Project Sign evolved into Project Grudge in December of 1948. Now, during these early years, the United States Air Force and the Central Intelligence Agency exercised complete control over the alien secret. As a matter of fact, the CIA was formed by a presidential executive order first as a central intelligence group for the express purpose of dealing with the alien presence. Later, the National Security Act was passed, establishing it as a central intelligence agency. This happened later.
The life of the Negro.
Same thing was happening in England at that time when they started forming their groups over there, too.
Segregation and the chains of discrimination.
December 9th, 1947, Truman approved the issuance of NBC-4. This was called the Coordination of Foreign Intelligence Information Measures. This was done at the urging of Secretary Marshall, Secretary of State Forrestal, Patterson, and the Director of the State Department's Policy Planning Commission, a guy by the name of Keenan.
100 years later, Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty. In the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity.
Control, Pamela.
I find you unpleasant to be around.
No, baby.
Satan.
Boy.
To most men, the height of hilarity is to get dressed in women's clothes.
Later on, a directory called NSC 10-1 and NSC 10-2 superseded NSC 4, and NSC 4A expanded the covert abilities even further.
You had a chance to again observe his demeanor, and you're smart. You know when somebody's lying and not telling you the truth. I mean, I don't have to go into that.
The Office of the Policy Coordination, OPC, was chartered to carry out an extended program of covert activities.
Is this some kind of test, Doc?
Well, yeah, possibly. I've been thinking about a blood serum test.
What's that?
We could take a sample of each person's blood. Could mix it with uncontaminated blood. I suppose if there's a reaction, we'd know who isn't human.
We've got whole blood in storage.
We start working on this. Keep an eye on Clark. Get close to that dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
Parties and different affairs. It's just funny to see a man put on women's clothes and walk out, especially if he tries to wear the high-heeled shoes.
Penance means turning. from sin.
And there's no way out.
You don't need the jury instruction. You got this visceral reaction. You got your experiences in life, and you know somebody's lying. But, you know, he said something really interesting.
Then I assume that before your operation, your genital organs were as the normal male genitals would be.
Pills. He eats these like candy. We're used to. Take some.
What are they?
Speed. It'll keep us awake.
How many are you supposed to take?
It says take one.
Take five.
Ricardo's pills. He eats these like candy. We're used to. Take some.
What are they?
Speed. It'll keep us awake.
How many are you supposed to take?
It says take one.
Take five.
It says take one.
Take five. It
says take one.
Take five.
This is the story of you.
Oh, those tasty lips.
I thought my clan.
Some are genuinely interested in companionship.
Gary! Hey, you guys, come here!
What?
Somebody got to the blood.
What?
Where's Clark?
Right here.
Somebody got to the blood. Gary! Hey, you guys, come here!
Somebody calling me? Somebody in the dark northern where you could change that to swimming through the ocean at night. Past the reef. Well, that's about the scariest thing I know of, having grown up in Florida, where the paradise around you can be full of bogeymen, as they used to call them back in the 50s. The family secret, the horror, come intimacy we as Americans know and love. Here at WZBC, pipelined from below at a Newton just for you. You deserve it. Oh yeah. It's the station that kind of nudges you towards smarterness. Being the smarterest you can be in the moment. Whoops. Glad that's over. Don't want to be tyrannized by awareness. Not in OJ land. America, United States of OJ. Oh no. Got to keep running, baby. Keep on running. And of course, don't look back. Keep on running, don't look forward either. Just sideways. Askance. A glancing blow. Learn to love the vector. Don't hate it. And remember, all is tangential.
Every time this guy was with me, all he wanted to do was talk.
Very soon. Very soon.
Don't ever patronize her.
What are you getting at?
I don't get it.
Somebody got to the blood.
What?
Put his clock
right here.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Was this broken into?
No, the lock is undamaged. Somebody opened it, closed it, and then locked it.
Great. Huh? Who's got access to it? I guess I'm the only one.
And I got the only key.
And starting from scratch, substance by substance, we build the load back up. Remember, the goal is to get clear. And so the safest and quickest way to clear is to fast. Fasting, which can last up to 5 days depending on the individual, is usually followed by the rotation diet or the rare foods diet.
Baby then.
So how do you get her?
My hierarchy was planning that democracy, as we knew it, must die.
When you think about it.
Maybe that's Jack trying to find us.
He'd know better than to use the phone. Where is he? Why doesn't he come? Like any Saturday morning. Len Perlman, Bill Pittner, Jim Clark and his wife Shirley and their kids. People I've known all my life.
What time is it?
7:45. Yeah, I know. It's too early to be so busy.
What are they doing here?
There's the answer. There must be strangers in town. Been waiting for the bus to come and go. There isn't another one through here until 11.
Red Bank,
All with redneck families, the contact, go to truck number two. All with redneck families, the contact, truck number two. Havenhurst, the third truck. Havenhurst, the third truck. Milltown, the third truck. Milltown, the third truck. Dolly Springs, the third truck. Dolly Springs, the third truck.
First our town.
Truck number two.
And all the towns around us. It's a malignant disease spreading through the whole country.
That's all for today. Be ready again tomorrow.
I can't wait. I can't wait for Jack any longer. Stay here.
But you're not getting out there.
I've got to stop them.
Oh, wait. We're safe here.
So you get the same view when you get to, say, Wilsonian intellectuals in the modern period, people like, say, Walter Lippmann and Harold Laswell and others who explain, these are the left liberals now, who explain that in a democracy, the population, what Lippmann calls the ignorant and meddlesome outsiders, the general population have to be kept from interfering. They can be spectators, but not participants.
Test of work, Doc?
Oh, I think so, yes.
Somebody else sure thought so.
Well, who else could he use that key?
Nobody. I just give it to Copper whenever he needs it.
Could anybody have gotten it from you, Doc?
I don't see how. As soon as I'm finished, I return it right away.
Great.
When was the last time you used it?
Huh? A day or so ago, I guess. I suppose somebody could have lifted it off me.
Oh, that's... come on.
That key ring of yours is always hooked to your belt.
It's not. I'm killing everybody. I'm killing everybody.
Stop it. Not any word.
Copper's the only one who's got any business with it.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Gary. You've been in here on several occasions.
Doc thought of the test.
So what? Is that supposed to clear him?
For why?
Bullshit. Why are we coming out of this window? Window!
Drinks. Music.
I'm going to take a piss.
Because if they're participants, they might threaten the minority, the opulent, who have to be protected. That's a position that goes right up till the present. However, to make it much clearer, there's another issue. Madison himself was a pre-capitalist figure. He had roots in the Enlightenment. And his idea was that the wealthy, the better class of men who had to rule under the constitutional system would be benevolent aristocrats. They would be nice gentlemen who read, you know, the classics and behave like Roman gentlemen and would act, you know, in a civilized fashion. He discovered in a couple of years that that wasn't true.
That's a little bit more information than I needed, Vince, but go right ahead.
It's me shudder just to look at it. If they'd been much bigger, one bullet wouldn't have killed them. Look, here's some fresh coffee on the stove. How about some jabber before they clean this mess up?
This has been Nightmare, a bedtime story for folks who like to dream violently. Be with us tomorrow for another tale of horror, mystery, or suspense. A story as short and terrifying as a nightmare.
And by the within about 10 years after the Constitution was put in place, he saw what was happening, and he denounced what he called the daring depravity of the time, as the rising business classes use government power for their own ends.
We'll never get tired of putting it down, and I never know when I come along.
Bill. I'll put this right through your head. You guys gonna listen to Gary? You gonna let him give the orders? I mean, he could be one of those things.
Wait a minute. Just take it easy. Put the gun down. Put it down. Gary, you don't want to hurt anybody.
Right. On the floor.
You see, this is a moral test of oneself, whether or not you can maintain loyalty. Because being loyal is very important. You never get tired of putting it down, and I never know when I come around what I'm gonna find. Don't let them break up your mind. Don't you look good?
Okay, I think that's the ultimate trick, and that's really difficult. And what I'll do with that is I'll quickly just say, and I'll hopefully get back to this later, is that any highly successful person in the world that's worked their way up from the bottom is a magician.
Out there, you're gonna say goodnight, and I've had a very lovely evening. Walk out the door, get in the car, go home, jerk off, and that's all you're gonna do.
They took a vision and they took their talents and they made something essentially out of nothing.
For the benefit of the population, they become, as he put it, the tools and tyrants of government.
And that's something about magic that we can look at too.
Hold out your hands and receive now the sparkling ball of light that the guide will give you, and take this ball and place it wherever you choose. You may hold it in your hand, in your pocket, you may eat it, you may push it into the body. It is energy. Now the guide leads you back to the other two, and they take you to the opening, and they sit you down and send you down on a blue slide of light, coming back down through the dark night, coming back to Mother Earth, approaching in the stillness of the wind, in the quiet of being, sliding back into this room, back through the center, and coming over to hover above the cocoon, the bag, the golden bag that holds your body, and now uniting yourself, becoming one. Magic, you can make something out of nothing, nothing out of something, or turn something into something else.
It's tools because they benefit from its largesses, and tyrants because they overwhelm it with their powers and combinations.
In this way, he is able to direct his awareness inward, focusing at some times on the ajna, the point between the eyebrows.
And a pusher, partly truth, partly fiction. Walking contradiction.
You're saying that about me?
Well, who else would I be talking about?
System while reintroducing foods back into it. Whatever diet you choose, be sure to omit mold antigen-containing foods like bread, cheese, alcohol, ketchup, vinegar, mayonnaise, mustard, coffee, or chocolate. Molds are very hard on the immune system. Vinegar, mayonnaise, mustard, coffee, or chocolate. Molds are very hard on the immune system. Mayonnaise, mustard, coffee, or chocolate. PI or not. And throughout your unloading process, be sure to have adjusted your living conditions accordingly. Safe bodies need safe environments in which to live. And there are healthy alternatives that exist for just about every toxic product, gas, or ventilation system out there. But it's up to you to find them.
That's a very accurate description of the system then and the system today. That's what the wealthy classes are, the tools and tyrants of government. They overwhelm it and benefit from it. They use it to protect them from market discipline, which of course they impose on others. They want to make sure that it's in their hands, and it is not in the manner of enlightened gentlemen of the kind that Madison had in mind. Rather, it's the daring depravity of the times.
Mia, so listen, I gotta go, right? Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, fuck me. Fuck me! Oh, come on, girl. We're getting out of here. We gotta walk now.
If I had been informed that money was being raised for humanitarian purposes to help these people with their defense, I would certainly have...
And we all know by listening to the media that the media is very adept at all of those things.
Matter of fact, I have here a copy of a report of the district attorney of Alameda County. It concerns a dance that was sponsored by the Vietnam Day Committee, sanctioned by the university as a student activity, and that was held in the men's gymnasium at the University of California. The incidents are so bad, so contrary to our standards of human behavior, that I couldn't possibly recite them to you here from this platform in detail. But there is clear evidence that there were things that shouldn't be permitted on a university campus. So contrary to our standards of human behavior.
Nancy's joining me because the message this evening is not my message, but ours. Despite our best efforts, shortages of marijuana are now being reported. From the early days of our administration, Nancy has been using marijuana on a daily basis.
Well, Madison, again, these are all things you don't study in elementary school where they would be taught in a free society, but these are the founding principles of the country. And although things have changed a lot in the last 200 years, as a description, Madison's account of the daring depravity of the times in the 1790s is not very far from correct now. Well, let's have a look at how it's viewed today. So here's Business Week a couple weeks ago. They say the Gingrich Congress represents a milestone for business. Never before have so many goodies been showered so enthusiastically on America's entrepreneurs.
Let's get it all wet.
Enjoy sex though.
With the right people and the right timing. Yeah. Oh God, I've squirted before. Very recently, I have.
When you've had an orgasm?
Yeah.
Squirted,
yeah.
What does that feel like?
It's intense because it's just like your whole body starts shaking and you just cannot stop. And as long as the other person doesn't stop either, you're just like, reaching, grabbing, you're reaching for something, and then all of a sudden you just, everything tightens up really tight, and all of a sudden you just...
And her personal observations and efforts have given her such dramatic insights that I wanted her to share them with you this evening.
Boom, everything goes like numb for a second, and you just like, you know, like taking a deep breath and letting it out.
I yearn to find a way to help share the message that drugs open your eyes to life, to see it in the vivid colors that God gave us as a precious gift to his children.
Like, oh man.
And drug abuse is not a crime. Drugs and excessive alcohol are used by former Attorney General Meese.
Drugs help us create love and hope and trust and confidence.
Being friends to others is the best way of being friends to ourselves.
like taking a deep breath and letting it out. And it's just like, oh man.
It's up to us to change attitudes and just simply enjoy life to the fullest.
Read a few excerpts. The total crowd at the dance was in excess of 3,000, including a number of less than college-age juveniles. Three rock and roll bands were in the center of the gymnasium, playing simultaneously all during the dance. And all during the dance, movies were shown on two screens at the opposite ends of the gymnasium.
The most important area, individual use, we see progress. The U.S. military has more than tripled the use of drugs among its personnel since 1980.
These movies were the only lights in the gym proper. They consisted of color sequences that gave the appearance of different colored liquids spreading across the screen, followed by shots of men and women on occasion.
Tonight, I can report to you that Vice President Bush smokes marijuana regularly.
We have to demand cuts in capital gain taxes, which is half of the income of the top 1% of the population. So.
On the floor.
I don't know about copper, but I give you my word I did not go near that blood. And I guess you'll all feel a little easier if somebody else was in charge. Norris, I can't see anybody objecting to you.
I'm sorry, fellas, but I'm not up to it.
So that's got to be cut, obviously, and you know how much it is as you go down further. We have to have deregulation. Deregulation will devastate the general population, and of course it's horrifying for future generations. But it does increase profits tomorrow for the people who count, you know.
And there's one more thing.
Were the men and women's nude torsos on occasion, and persons twisted and gyrated in provocative and sensual fashion.
I'll take it.
Like hell you will.
There should be somebody a little more even-tempered, Childs. All right.
You know, unless it was like man walking on the moon, but just, you know, various astronomy discoveries were never a big deal. I think that, you know, people are dying for it. It's, people are like busting out. They know that, now this New England is deleted from everything I'm saying, I think, because this is, bedrock of, this is a bedrock community of our country. But in other parts of the country, man, they're not that stable. Very few communities are as stable as this area.
Nancy and I are hooked on heroin.
Environment. When I was growing up, we had a great farm in New Hampshire. We swam in the lake. I could drink from the pool, the rivers, the streams. There were thousands of birds. The air was clean. The water tasted drinkable from right from the faucet.
Each of us was once strung out on several drugs.
Here in the White House, drugs are a constant temptation, but we still have much to do. One more thing. Nancy and I are hooked on heroin. Nancy and I are hooked on heroin.
Same thing. We're doing the same thing.
Not quite. There's still you and Becky.
Miles, it would have been so much easier if you'd gone to sleep last night.
Now relax. We're here to help you.
You know better than that.
Where do you want us to put them?
Would you like to watch them grow?
No, thanks.
Put them in there. There's nothing to be afraid of. We're not going to hurt you.
Look, once you understand, you'll be grateful. Remember how Teddy and I fought against it? Well, we were wrong.
You mean Teddy doesn't mind?
Of course not. She feels exactly the way I do.
Let us go.
Look, we'll leave town. We won't come back. We can't let you go. You're dangerous to us.
Don't fight it, Miles. It's no use. Sooner or later, you'll have to go to sleep.
I'll wait for you in the hall.
Nancy and I are hooked on heroin.
There was no bottled water business. There were few cars.
So again, that's another way of looking at magic. All of these things that I've mentioned so far are components of, but minor components of, what I really want to talk about, which is the practice of magic.
I want to welcome all newcomers, all short and long-term visitors, and extend our warmest support for the acceleration of your healing process. So that you can relax and receive the full benefit of your stay here, we ask that you observe community wishes in the following ways. Silent meals are observed at breakfast and lunch, with a side of the room for men and a side of the room for women. In addition, we ask you to refrain from smoking, drinking, and use of recreational drugs while on the premises. And we ask that you respect our practice of moderation in dress and restraint in sexual interaction. Instead, we ask that you try to focus these feelings inward towards your personal growth and self-realization. End of speech. Welcome, everybody. Especially.
We have to devolve federal power down to the state level. That's not a matter of giving power to the people and all the talk about how they're making a gamble on maybe the governors are better than the, you know, politicians in Washington. That's not in anybody's mind. What's in everybody's mind is what is never discussed, namely the fact that when you get power down to the state level, the states can be totally overwhelmed even by middle-sized businesses, not just by huge corporations. So if you put block grants down to the state level, you can be sure that they're not going to go to anybody except the pockets of local business by various trickery, regressive taxes, and one thing or another. So, for example, like take, say, Massachusetts. The biggest employer in Massachusetts is Raytheon, which is a publicly, it's what's called private enterprise here, meaning the public pays the cost of it and the profits go into private hands. It's a military-based corporation. And they, you know, a company like Raytheon isn't big enough to play Germany against the United States, let's say. But they are big enough to play Massachusetts against Tennessee. And they've simply told the state that unless they are given even more public benefits, they're just going to move their workforce to Tennessee. Well, you can do that if you're a Raytheon-sized corporation. And that means, and the state, in fact, has just passed a law saying that military firms get tax rebates, meaning Raytheon. So military firms get tax benefits, meaning you shift the taxes over to poor people, and the justification, it's called a job enhancement program or something, meaning if you don't do it, they just go to Tennessee.
Spoke up and said, the loudspeaker spoke up and said, the loudspeaker spoke up and said, the loudspeaker spoke up and said, Christianity is stupid. 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 Communism is good.
You know, a funny thing about Europe is
what?
It's the little differences. And you know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
Give up. Did you hear that? Give up. Give up. Give up.
Well, that's the point of moving block grants down to the state level and moving decisions down to the state level. Under other circumstances, that could be a move towards democracy, but not when you've got private tyrannies around. Then it's a move to put power into their hands, and all the business about the gambles and so on.
Christianity is stupid. Communism is good. Communism is good. Give up. Give up. Give up. From 5 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. From 5 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. From 5 o'clock in the morning.
And Saturday Night Fever, you know, and he was nominated for an Oscar for Saturday Night Fever. And also, actually, in a movie.
But what are the three, your three favorite films of all time?
I'm sorry. Okay,
my Urban Cowboy?
Films, no.
No, okay. I thought.
I got screwed up. Okay. Whatchamacallit? Blowout.
Blowout.
Rio Bravo.
Blowout was made by
Brian De Palma.
Brian De Palma.
Rio Bravo by Howard Hawks.
Right.
And Taxi Driver by Martin Scorsese.
Yeah.
Communism is good. Christianity is stupid.
Give up.
Christianity is stupid.
Give up. Give up.
Communism is good.
Give up.
Give up. Give up. Give up. 17,000 saved.
Give up.
Give up.
Give up.
Give up.
Give up.
Give up.
Heading to the year 2000, worried about the end of the world, millennial madness, and yet longing for a return to this lost golden age, a thousand years of peace and tranquility, whatever it is.
Yes, and we're reenacting symbolically the epoch of the gods every New Year. Here we have a New Year coming up. Now, what are we doing in the New Year? We are celebrating. We are reenacting, but kind of removed from the deep anxiety that the earlier civilizations felt. But we're reenacting the chaos that descended on the world.
Total nonsense. This whole feeding frenzy, which is pretty incredible to watch, has to continue. That's the point of the Business Week article. And it goes for tort reform and privatization and the healthcare system and everything else. Finish by saying that, you know, there's a lot to say about this, but this is not the first time that this has happened. It's important to remember. It's happened many times. The period that we're now in is very much like the 1890s. It's very much like the 1920s.
You guys gonna listen to Gary? You gonna let him give the orders? I mean, he can be one of those things!
Christianity is stupid. Christianity is stupid. Christianity is stupid.
I let her sit there until the last sunlight rocked through the den, broke, and disappeared.
Communism is good.
is good. Communism is good.
Proof. If I had been told that the purpose of the money was to raise it for the purpose of keeping him quiet, I would have been disapproved. But
give up. Give up. Give up. Christianity is stupid. Christianity is stupid. Christianity is stupid. Christianity is stupid. Give up. Give up. Give up.
100 years later. Negro is still languished in the corners of American society. Finds himself in exile in his own land.
Communism is good.
So we've come here today.
Communism is good. Give up.
You guys gonna listen to Gary? You gonna let him give the orders?
Morning till 10 o'clock at night. From 5 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. Give up, give up, give up. From 5 o'clock in the morning.
This is your last warning out there. All these years I've been doing this show, secret subliminal messages have been broadcast, flying under FCC prophylactic care. Landing and nesting in the vulnerable, damp portions of the body politic. You have been warned, and you know you are helpless.
Shop as usual and avoid panic buying.
You learn to accept the hard-on, to deal with it. You learn to master the risk. Accept that pee hard-on. You know what I'm saying? You get up in the morning, you're late for work, you gotta take a squirt. Joey's admiring the chandelier.
Everything tightens up really tight, and then all of a sudden you just, boom, everything goes like numb for a second, and you just like, you know, like taking a deep breath and letting it out, and it's just like, oh man.
That's your sip. The right.
Mr. Shapiro?
Explosive.
Mr. O.J. Simpson was no more a suspect than you were. Get up in the morning and quickly run to the mirror to examine yourself, but it's really not necessary. You can be sure you're still a human being.
This is NPR News.
It's overturned. It's overturned. It's overturned. It's overturned. Police. 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 Police.
Just gone to sleep last night.
David, no.
Oh my God, no! No! Matthew!
Don't touch her! David, don't let them touch her! David, don't let them touch her!
No.
Don't let them touch her!
Please!
What are you going to do? Please, listen to me!
Please, leave the city! Please, Jeffrey!
David, please, let us go! We won't go
ahead.
We won't have to leave the city. Nothing changes. You can have the same life, the same clothes, the same car.
But what happens to us?
You'll be born again into an untroubled world.
In the 1920s, after this was the period of big mass production. That's when the automobile business was taken off and so on. Working people were completely powerless. There were no unions. They had no voice in anything that was going on. Anything they did was at the will of employers. Independent thought had been pretty well smashed by Wilson's Red Scare. People were talking, you know, enthusiastically about the end of history.
Free of anxiety, fear.
Wait.
Hate.
David, you're killing us.
That's not true. David's right. Your minds and memories will be totally absorbed. Everything remains intact.
You've never agreed with him in your life before. What are you talking about? What are you...
Nancy and I are hooked on heroin.
Or Anahata, a place in the heart region.
Over there. Watch where I'm indicated.
David, you're killing me.
Carol and Ward. And now, with no further ado, I give you our own Peter Dunning.
Hey, Peter!
Oh, you like your shirt?
Are you familiar with any of these?
No, I don't think so. They're so wonderful.
Peter is a chemically sensitive person with AIDS, so his perspective is incredibly vast.
Miles, you and I are scientific men. You can understand the wonder of what's happened. Now just think. Less than a month ago, Santa Mara was like any other town. People with nothing but problems. Then out of the sky came a solution. Seeds drifting through space for years took root in a farmer's field. From the seeds came pods, which have the power to reproduce themselves in the exact likeness of any form of life.
So that's how it began. Out of the sky.
Your new bodies are growing in there. They're taking you over, cell for cell, atom for atom. There's no pain. Suddenly, while you're asleep, they'll absorb your minds, your memories, and you're reborn into an untroubled world.
Where everyone's the same.
Exactly.
Nancy and I are hooked on heroin.
David.
I want somebody at transfer station to report to the Grove Street turnaround.
David!
Supposed to do just a mild sedative to help you sleep.
I hate you.
We don't hate you. There's no need for hate now. Or love.
Reach perfection, complete tyranny in the hands of unaccountable power. Can't get any better than that. The ignorant and meddlesome outsiders are in their place. They're shut up. They can't get together. It was near perfection. Then turned out to be wrong. A couple of years later, in the 1930s, the whole place blew up. There was a lot of popular organizing. There was a democratic renewal, unanticipated. It forced Washington to direct some public resources, at least to the general public, not just to the rich. And that sort of went on right through the Nixon administration, and after which happened what you know and what I was just talking about. You have to remember what the reaction was in the 1930s. When this democratic renewal took place, showing that the end of history hadn't arrived, it caused a real hysteria in the business world. If you read the business press, they're
so good and so right and so right, just so good and so right in the eternal moment.
I love you, Matthew.
There are people who will fight you, David.
They'll stop you.
In an hour. You won't want them to.
When you lived in the light, when you lived in the grace, in grace, when you lived in the light and the grace and the blessing.
They're full of talk about what they call the hazard facing industrialists and the rising political power of the masses.
Just 5 minutes separation between erection and female mutilation would be a great public service.
The last day of my job in the summer of 1967, I thought, and this is the truth, I thought for the first time of what I was going to say last to Elizabeth Rensdale. I tried to imagine it, and my imagination failed. When I climbed from her bed the nights I'd gone to her, it was just that, climbing out, dressing, and crossing to the door. She didn't get up. This wasn't Casablanca, or High Noon, or Captain Blood. This was getting laid in a hot summer desert town by your father's oxygen delivery man. There was no way to make it anything else.
Incidentally, the fact that this sounds like Malice Red Books is not surprising. That's the way the business press sounds. And the reason is they are fighting a vicious class war and they know it.
You're not the last humans left. They'll destroy you. Tomorrow you won't want them to. Tomorrow you'll be one of us.
Gary, you don't want to hurt anybody. You don't want to hurt anybody.
I know I'm human. And if you were all these things, then you'd just attack me right now. So some of you are still human.
I know there are some of my people out there who can and do live in a ethereal / visceral way in this world that is of a different perspective from the usual or anti-usual ones. And it is to this family that I am born and live today. As, of course, do you. We think free. And freely think more freely tomorrow. And we know that today. And it is good. And we progress. In and within and without this current perspective.
And they share, if they share one thing, what is it?
This thing doesn't want to show itself. It wants to hide inside an imitation. It'll fight if it has to.
So they use all the terminology and so on. So this rising political power of the masses is a hazard facing industrialists, and unless we control it, we're going to be facing adversity. And they started right off with a big campaign in the late 30s. Well, the war sort of put it on hold. It then took off after the war, and the way it took off is pretty amazing. I thought I knew something about this stuff, but was surprised a couple of months ago when the first academic study came out.
Nancy and I are hooked on heroin.
This is one of the major phenomena of American history. The first study just came out a couple months ago, giving some of the details of the propaganda offensive after the Second World War, which is pretty staggering, way beyond anything I had thought. I was very self-conscious. Leaders of the business community were talking about the need to indoctrinate people in the capitalist story in order to win the everlasting battle for the minds of men, and unless we do it fast, you know, our way of life. We got to sell our way of life, the capitalist story.
I don't know what they share. You know what? Other than a major directorial vision.
Right, vision of a director.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
But it's vulnerable out in the open.
Magic as ritual, the science and theory of magic, the practice of magic, and all religions have some kind of magical practice.
All the accoutrements that they're placed now. Because they grow, they cooperate, they'll do what you want, they'll do what you want. If you keep giving the message, be ill, be ill, be ill, they'll do it. And grow from it, because they have sacrificed themselves for you. If you constantly keep giving the message that this is going to be the death of me yet, this is going to kill me. Oh, my heart. A pain in the this, a pain in the that. Break my back. What we heard, someone, you know, this, what was her, what's that woman's name? Quinlan, is that her? The woman in the coma. They had a big fight over disconnecting her. Finally disconnected her after how many agonizing, whatever, and she's still living, eh? What were the last, her diary, last things, yeah, she's last life, and how she wishes she could just curl up and sleep.
she wrote a poem, yes? She did. And she is. But we would suggest, dear, so your body will cooperate with you now. We're not saying you write one word and bang you. But it is interesting. For clearly so, that phrase was not just a spur of the moment, off the cuff, sort of poetic phrase. It was something that had been building and building.